Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you're having a great week. We had a great, wonderful summer day yesterday, and now we're back to a little bit of cold weather. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
We're short a few members today because they're dealing with medical issues or family members with medical issues, and we're just praying that they will be back with us soon. So today we have the three of us.
And hopefully we can, quote, entertain you with...
And inform you.
And it's going to be hard because almost nothing has happened.
Almost nothing. I know. For the last couple of weeks, just
nothing.
Yeah, yes. Very boring.
Somebody's trying to get used to their office or whatever else.
And we're really going to have to string it out.
Okay. So we're going to start off on some of the international things, I think. Pat, you had one on Gaza.
I wanted to talk about Trump's idea that we should take Gaza and level it and build a resort after he ships out the denizens of Gaza. What do you think of that idea?
It's a beautiful area on the Mediterranean. It makes more sense as a resort than it does a lot of other things.
Well, Mary, as you said before we got on the air, that at one time before the Gaza was given back to them, it was the breadbasket.
They had greenhouses, they grew fruit, they grew vegetables, they fed Israel, and they fed the world with quality agricultural products, and they were self-sustaining. That can be, again, I can't imagine letting Hamas come back and regroup, because you're just asking for the same mess all over again. If you separate them and send them other places, but nobody else wants them. The Arab countries have never let them assimilate because they wanted the issue of the refugees to use against Israel.
Well, maybe Trump's got an inside line on where to send them. He's named two countries, hasn't he said Jordan and Egypt?
Yeah, but Egypt had a bad experience with the Muslim Brotherhood when they assassinated Anwar Sadat. I mean, they can be negotiated with, I'm sure, but Hamas does not need to come back to Gaza. That would be a mistake.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. And the way Hamas has conducted itself during this hostage release, when the first three were women, right? Mm-hmm. And they were all bunched up around where the women were coming out of the vehicle. They were touching them.
Yeah.
They gave them goodie bags.
It was awful.
And they were making them wave and, you know.
Yeah, it was awful.
Now, quick question, though. As you said, where President Trump is talking about redoing Gaza or whatever, is this really done just to help every Democrat's head to spin around?
It was during his co-appearance with Netanyahu.
Yeah. And Netanyahu seemed open to the idea.
I mean, to somebody coming in and helping to rebuild the area, yeah. I mean,
but it seems obvious the lessons of history have taught us that a two-state solution is not possible. I think we've come to that.
If you look at the founding documents for Hamas, it clearly says that the reason for their being is to get rid of Israel.
Yes.
And I think when people tell you who they are, you should listen to them.
Well, I have posted numerous times on Right Wing Granny pictures of kindergarten children graduating from kindergarten in Gaza in camouflage uniforms holding fake machine guns, mm-hmm. saying they wanted to be martyrs.
Mm-hmm. And I believe every map that's controlled by the Palestinians does not have the word Israel on it.
Right, right. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know that you could find people, any reasonably educated people, in the world that thinks Hamas is willing to get along with Israel.
It was interesting to me, and I talked about this last week, about the article by the grandson of the commandant of Auschwitz-Birkenau, and he's a pastor who's working to end anti-Semitism and to provide communication between the Christians and the Jews. But one of the things that he said in the interview, and it kind of surprised me because the interview was very gentle and sweet and whatever. But one of the things that he said in the interview in no uncertain terms was Hamas has to be eliminated, just like the Nazis did.
Yeah.
It's the same spirit.
Right. It's corrosive.
It is corrosive.
It's just hate.
Now, let's go on to another corrosive item.
Where are you going?
But wait a minute. Just do you think Trump really wants to take Gaza and rebuild it? I mean, it's such a Trumpy thing to say.
It really
is. Well, I'm not.
And a friend of ours published a picture that said Mara Gaza, uh-huh, as instead of Mara Gaza.
I'm not necessarily a fan of what Donald Trump has done to the New York City skyline.
Why?
I'm not into golden glass particularly. And the picture in my mind of Gaza with golden glass skyscrapers on it does not thrill me.
But if you look at something like Dubai,
what's there now? What
Dubai and all of those Arab areas that have been developed with the humongous skyscrapers,
yeah. And it is. I mean, it's a beautiful beach on the Mediterranean. It would make a good resort.
Yeah. He may not be the one to develop it, but I know that he's going to push to have it developed.
I would like to see us controlling it. I really would, because I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Gaza Strip. I've been hearing about it my whole life. Gaza Strip, Gaza Strip.
Yes, you're right.
Well, we've never had a solution to the Palestinians because the other Arabs would not assimilate them. Had the other Arabs assimilated them and they had been spread through the Arab population, we probably wouldn't have Hamas.
We've never put a line in the sand before. I mean, I believe that President Trump put a line in the sand before when he moved our embassy to Jerusalem.
Yes. Remember in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, when the Palestinians were blowing stuff up all over Europe? Blowing up airplanes and taking people hostage on airplanes. I was stationed in Europe during that, and I remember there was a movie I watched called The Little Drummer Girl, and it was about a woman who went undercover to get up close to one of these Palestinian terrorists to infiltrate the ring so they could do away with him. And of course he figured out what she was doing before the end, so there was a big, you know, dramatic standoff. Those were scary days. So they can either blow each other up or they can blow us up.
We met years ago a member of the Israeli fencing team the year that the Israeli
Munich.
Munich. Yep. And the reason that he was not killed was because, for whatever reason, the fencing team got to Munich early, and they chose the middle room. There were three rooms for the Olympic athletes from Israel. For whatever reason, they just picked the middle door. And when the terrorists came, they went to the two end doors and skipped the middle door. But it was very interesting to hear his account of the events. He survived. And when they finally got the terrorists and the athletes into the helicopter, then they were able to free the people in the middle room because obviously they were afraid to move. But that was awful. And the Mossad tracked down the perpetrators of that and dealt with them as well they should have.
What was the movie
Black
called?
September?
Was it?
Black September was the story of the incident. I don't remember what the movie of the Mossad tracking them down.
It had Daniel Craig in it. I'd never heard of him. I didn't notice him in the film. He played kind of a vanilla character.
Yeah.
After he became Bond, then I went back and tried to find his other movies. And he had longish hair. And he didn't look like Bond at all.
No.
But the stories of the Mossad tracking some of those down were amazing.
It was a good movie.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to U.S. AID, and Doge. Let's combine the two of those.
Oh, wait a minute. I've been watching this series on Netflix called The Recruit, and it's this young lawyer who goes to the CIA, and he gets involved in all of this stuff where he's acting like an agent almost, and he's involved with their assets and all this stuff, and it's everybody in the CIA is constantly saying, don't tell me that, so that if Congress asks them, they can say, I didn't know.
It's kind of where we are, isn't it?
It's pretty good. Well, I just wanted to say that the CIA has now offered all of their employees the buyout.
Yes.
Yes.
And there is precedence.
Let me out before I ask questions. Yes.
There is precedence for this, as Bob pointed out to me this morning, that when Bill Clinton took office, he fired all federal appointees and those reporting directly to them, reaching three levels deep into the management hierarchy. This included upper level, middle level, and lower level managers. Such sweeping dismissals were unprecedented in modern history. Now, the reason he gave for this was to reform government and make it more efficient. It was the 1993 Reinventing Government Initiative. He saw the termination of 377,000 federal employees. And the initiative was led by Vice President Al Gore, who marketed it as an effort to cut bureaucratic bloat. And he boasted that he reduced the government payroll from 2.15 million to 1.79. But what he did is shifted jobs to government contractors and expanded it and created his own little fiefdom where he put his own little people in and created his own little deep state. So what Trump is doing has been done before. And if it is charged in the courts, they can go back and say it's been done.
There is precedence.
Well, the good thing about the USAID funds being stopped is all those NGOs and the contractors. I saw an article. There were two different companies who do, all they do is stuff that USAID is funding. And they've already notified thousands of their employees that you're out of a job.
Yeah, we're going to come back to this one.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Again, welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're coming right back to USAID and DOGE. Is DOGE really the discovery organization?
Is it what?
Is it the discovery organization?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, they've got, apparently DOGE has these young guys working for it. Musk has these young kids that are working for it. They're discovering all sorts of things within our spending.
All right.
Yeah, it's not just the department, it's the discovery of ongoing idiocy, I guess.
Well, if you're gonna cut spending, you have to look at what you're spending on.
Yeah, and this AID, USAID.
And as soon as Musk saw what USAID was spending on, he said, "This isn't an apple with a worm in it. This is a ball of worms. The whole thing's got to go."
Well, they're these kids, and they are kids. They're brilliant kids, but they're kids. But they are auditing the Treasury's payment infrastructure, and they're going through USAID, looking at all the computer codes to see exactly where the money's going and what's hidden in those codes.
Well, in the Treasury Department, they were in the Bureau of Fiscal Service, which is where they approve or not approve payments, and they were told to never disapprove a payment. So they've never, ever disapproved a payment, no matter if it was to a fraudulent recipient or a terrorist organization.
They have never refused.
They have never refused. Well, I don't know why you need any employees. Just hit
send.
Auto.
Auto, yeah. And you know, well, somebody's acting like it's my money. My money. When we hear the term, it's government money or whatever else. No, folks, it's not government money. It's my money.
Well, the USAID has been shuttered and sent to Rubio. And I saw an article this afternoon that Rubio said it's rank insubordination, that the employees there act like you can't tell us what to do.
Well, it's interesting to me that some of the money that the USAID has gone, some of the things the money has gone to, they gave the New York Times $3.1 million, Politico $32 million, and the BBC $3.2 million. All of these organizations are anti-Trump.
Yep.
So what are you doing? You're not helping America. You're splitting America.
The quirk that we just heard about was apparently, was it Politico?
Yes.
Politico can't meet their payroll.
Well, they met it, but it was late.
Oh, they met it, but it was
they
late.
They did meet it?
I believe that's what I read. They insisted it was a technical error between the bank and payroll providers and that everyone would be paid by the end of the day.
Meaning
the
that?
The employees were eventually paid, but it didn't appear as pending until after 5 p.m. and didn't clear until Wednesday morning.
Meaning they had to take out a short-term loan.
Probably.
Dun, dun, dun!
But again, why is a government agency paying money to media outlets that are anti the current administration? That doesn't seem like that's in keeping with...
Because obviously it's run by Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, it's run by somebody that doesn't want to be accountable.
It's run in order to fund jobs or outcomes that the Democrats would be in favor of. And let's face it, they've been hammering on Trump since he came down the elevator, and they've never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And Politico, you hear about Politico constantly. And it just struck me that if Trump closed U.S. aid and then all of a sudden Politico can't make their payroll, if they're flying that close to the bone, so to speak, we'll see what happens next pay period.
Next pay, that's right.
That'll be interesting.
But this is our taxpayer money. How much of this has to be cut before Americans see a reduction in their income taxes, or is that related?
Well, it's only $60
billion. Only?
Only.
Only.
For the whole USAID. Out of $2.1
trillion. Yeah, I know, but that's still $60 billion.
Only.
It's only $60
billion. It's hard to hear that word.
Only.
Only and
in front of $60 billion.
And billions, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not enough to lower our taxes.
But how much is going to be impacted by the buyouts of the civil servants?
Well, that's only 1% of the workforce, so that's not going to be enough.
Okay. However, these are things that need to be done.
Yeah, we need to stop spending money on stuff we don't need to spend money on. I've got no argument with that.
And it's been equated to, you have somebody within your family that got a hold of your credit card, and they've gone willy-nilly at the...
And they're getting cash advances.
And they're getting cash advances and whatever else, and now you have to rein it in. And the first thing you got to do is...
Cut the card up.
Cut the card up. That's right. You've got to stop the bleeding.
Well, this is a teenage boy out with his Corvette convertible and daddy's credit card.
Well, speaking of cutting up the card, Trump fired the guy who's the head of the Consumer Financial Protection
Bureau. Yes, I saw that.
And one of the reasons he did that was this guy was running that agency like they had power to run financial institutions. He's the one that came up with the, you won't have to have medical debt on your credit report anymore. And also that they can't, they have to cap bounce check fees at some low amount. And the guy said the reason for those two things that he wanted to accomplish was to make sure that you were still giving credit to low-income people without being a loan shark. But that's not how the free market works.
I think, and you go back a little bit in time, that we were told that banks were told that they needed to extend credit to the illegals without any background check. No sense of credibility.
Right. Hmm.
Well, it's interesting to me that way back when Joe Biden was in the Senate, there was a bill that came up that got rid of the cap on what banks could charge as credit card interest, because there had been like an 18% cap on that or something.
Yeah, it's up to 35 now.
And oddly enough, about the time the Senate approved that bill, raising the cap or getting rid of the cap, Hunter Biden was appointed to the board of the Bank of America. It was just a very strange coincidence.
Bank of America, of course,
with a no-show job.
Was incorporated in Delaware. Speaking of incorporated in Delaware, there was a judge in Delaware that was presiding over the case where the Tesla...
Elon Musk, yes.
The stockholders had voted to give Elon Musk a certain pay, $56 million, I think. And this judge decided that was too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then awarded the lawyers that sued Musk $345 million.
And as a result of this, corporations are exiting Delaware at record because a judge should not be able to overrule the shareholders of a corporation.
Right.
And you don't want to be in a state where that happens.
Liberals never foresee the consequences of their actions. They think we'll strike this blow here, not realizing that you've just shattered the facade.
And the corporations that are incorporated in Delaware make up a very large percentage of the tax base, which means we're likely to see Delaware in some interesting financial straits in the very near future.
Isn't that sad?
Well, to be everything was paid for by DuPont, so let's see where the DuPont goes. Now, what? still dealing with
Doge.
Doge. And
Doge showed up at the FBI.
They showed up at the FBI, but they weren't allowed in, were they?
I don't know. The article just said they showed up.
They showed up.
That it somehow was connected with the Trump asking for a list of all the agents that had participated in investigating and persecuting the J6ers. And then a lawsuit was filed to keep Trump from seeing a list of the names of FBI agents.
You mean of his employees?
Of his own employees, yes. And it turns out 5,000 FBI agents out of 13,000. There's only 13,000 FBI agents. So that means 39% of the FBI is unneeded for the rest of the agency to operate.
And he could
get rid of all 5,000, and they would still be able to operate.
And he's not even on the top 10 FBI wanted posters.
No. No, not yet.
Not yet.
he'll be up there with the impeachment guys. But the 5,000 said that told the judge that this is a list for retribution, demotion, firing, and therefore Trump shouldn't be told their names. Well, a list has already been turned over, and it doesn't have their names on it. It has their payroll numbers. So it's not like he can't find out, you know, just match it against the payroll.
But he has gotten a list, and again, some of them may have been cooperative, some of the ones may have instigated why you have to
keep saying that, Bob, like that's an excuse.
Well, some people will make it.
You know, if you were a Nazi, low-level guy, you still went along
with
what happened.
You still went along, that's right, that's right.
In the Holocaust.
But again, we were in the situation where historically someone like General Milley would have resigned before doing what they did in Afghanistan.
Right.
And he chose not to.
He chose not to.
Poor Milley. His
poor
portraits are gone.
And so is one rank, I guess. Didn't he lose a rank?
It's going to be.
He's being investigated to see if he should lose a star.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's not having a good time.
No, and he lost his detail. So he no longer has a...
No security detail. No,
no
chauffeur.
No chauffeur.
Okay.
Well,
and
Fauci doesn't have a chauffeur.
And he doesn't have a security clearance, so he can't serve on all those boards where the generals usually make their money. So I mean, he's not going to be able to sweep in like Mr. Important.
Oh, too bad. So sad. I think on that we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in Newbern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Now, we sound like we're all over the place, but we're not all over the place because...
Well, before we move on from USAID, we did some research, Mary did some research while we were offline about what it would take for Trump to be able to get rid of USAID, and I'd like her to explain that legal basis.
USAID was established originally through an executive order from John Kennedy. But later on, the Foreign Affairs Reform Act of 1998 established it as its own agency. Now, according to justsecurity.org, and I don't know anything about this site, I'm just saying, that the president cannot unilaterally get rid of it, but he can, an act of Congress can get rid of it. But the statute transfers certain functions of USAID to the State Department. And I wonder if this would be the basis for moving the whole thing under the State Department, under Marco Rubio, who's already begun to take charge of it anyway. This is very complicated, and unfortunately, now, 1998 was Bill Clinton, was it not?
Well, you know, I would...
He laid the foundation for the deep state in a lot of ways.
Oh, I want to interrupt there, because I think 1998 also was when they decided that the Clinton organization decided that they were going to finance Haiti's rebuilding and actually rebuild the Clinton
Foundation. And 2% of the money actually went to Haiti.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and they got money from USAID.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got $40 million.
Something like that.
And
yeah.
2% of it actually made its way to Haiti. It was horrible.
As far as this Foreign Aid Act that made it an independent agency, the Supreme Court has repeatedly said that the executive branch operates at the behest of the executive, and that's the president. Congress is the legislative branch. So if Congress is telling the executive what agencies he has to have within the executive branch...
They can't do that.
They wouldn't be able to do that under Supreme Court precedents. Mm. So okay. I think he's already moved USAID over to the State Department. And I guess Rubio could then reorganize the State Department and get rid of all those employees. They've already put them all on... leave.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we actually get back to a budgeting process.
Well, it seems to me that in order to not spend the money, because Congress has already appropriated it, he would have to impound the funds. And there's an impoundment act. And he has to get approval from Congress to impound. He has to give them a reason why he's impounding the funds.
But you know what's really sad about this? You have an agency within the United States government working against the United States government.
Well, they're paying all those NGOs that are funneling the illegals in.
Yeah, I know, but that's just sad.
Catholic Charities got how much?
Yeah, the Episcopals and the Catholics are breaking in.
Well, it's funny that the Catholic priest who spoke before the prayer breakfast.
She was an Episcopal bishop.
Episcopal? Okay, Episcopal.
Even worse.
Yeah, and their church got $53 million.
And she lives in a mansion.
But
she's doing very well.
That's one more reason why I'm no longer an Episcopalian.
Nothing to see here, folks. Keep moving on. Okay. Where are we going now? I think we've got a couple of
international things.
International things, like let's put on the tariff hat. Okay, the tariff hat, because I know we see that the U.S. Post Office has stopped accepting packages from China.
And now, Hong Kong.
I'm sure that that's because we have to assess a tariff on those before we can release them. So let's see how that works. I'm sorry, Temu.
Anybody and Shine.
Ordering something from Temu.
And Shine.
And Shine. It may be a little bit late.
So don't panic, because Amazon already has stocks.
Amazon
of Chinese
has stock.
Goods.
It already has the stock of Chinese goods,
right.
as does Walmart.
So yes. It won't have an instant blank shelf.
No.
it'll take a little while.
And toilet paper does not come from China.
Okay. No, most of our toilet paper came from Canada, but it turns out that 88% of their toilet paper comes from us.
You know, as we go
take
into
that tariffs,
as we go into this tariff thing. Now, of course, President Trump put a tariff on Mexico
and Canada.
And Canada. And all of a sudden, the tariff disappeared. Now, I know that I had heard.
It's suspended for a month.
It's suspended for a month. But I heard from some folks, and I can't remember exactly where. Does he know what he's doing? Because he puts the tariff on and then takes the tariff off. And Pat, as you said, has anybody read The Art of the Deal?
Right.
Well, part of the tariff on Canada had to do, and Mexico, had to do with the amount of fentanyl coming through our borders and beefing up border security to slow that down. So in essence, the threat of these tariffs will save lives.
And it got the attention of both of those countries that they're going to put their troops on the borders.
Yeah, Canada's moving troops to the border.
Moving troops, and what's this guy's name?
Ricky, because his name's Ricardo.
So he's El Ricky. Who is he?
He's a cartel dude.
And
all
Mexico,
of a sudden they found him?
They found him like that.
Yeah.
That's amazing that they find them like that, and then along with the tariffs and whatever else, I think international dealings. I came up with El Salvador. What's happening with El Salvador?
I just want to make one more comment about Canada and their tariffs. I saw an article where this Canadian liquor store had bought tequila from the U.S., and they were taking it off their shelves to protest the tariffs. They'd already paid for it, mind you.
They'd pay for it. Okay.
So they weren't going to sell it. I don't think they get it either. You've already paid for it. The only way you can get your money back is to sell it, dude.
Just to sell it, that's right.
Yeah.
It's not new goods coming in.
No. Yeah.
Well, El Salvador has been jailing gang members, and they've offered to house dangerous criminals from the U.S., even American citizens and legal residents.
I don't like that idea.
No, that's not.
Well, we don't know how it'll work, how the Art of the Deal will work in this one. but I know that if the MS-13 folks get sent back, they will have a new residence that they may not like.
Right.
Now, we also need to mention that El Salvador has become one of the safest countries in the Western Hemisphere.
Well, Venezuela had, too. Their crime rate dropped 70%.
Because they sent us all their criminals.
They sent us all their criminals.
But El Salvador locked up their gang members.
Yes.
And sent them
and
to
it's,
us.
It's not the most comfortable conditions to be locked up
no.
under.
Really?
Really?
One of those blank hole countries in the third world?
Yes.
Where are we going to go?
I want to talk about Panama. Panama has decided not to renew its Belt and Road Agreement with China.
And they may even cut it short.
And they're not going to charge our military ships to go through the canal.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Yes. Somehow.
You know, Trump's point is, we're the United States. We swing a big stick, and we need to start swinging it. And that Biden didn't, you know, Biden made us weak by not insisting on the prerogatives due the global power, the preeminent global power. And when Trump comes, like, it's like night and day.
Well, to be very honest about the Panama Canal, we built that.
Yeah, we did.
We built that.
And a Democrat gave it away for a dollar.
On the advice of one of his advisors, who later was identified as a Marxist.
Well, they're all, there's a lot of Marxists involved in there. So, again, we've sort of beat international stuff to...
Well, I got one more.
Up one side and down the other, huh?
That reflects both the international and the waste of money. Just before exiting office, Biden gave $3 million in military training for Palestinian forces containing terrorists. He gave the money to the Palestinian Authority security forces.
For weapons training. Specifically for weapons training.
After October 7th and while they were fighting Israel.
So we
were funding both sides of that war.
Mm-hmm.
And that war is not over yet.
Now, you know something that really has not been mentioned this week, and I'm not sure where it slid into the back shelf. Ukraine has not been mentioned.
Yes. Zelensky says, okay, you claim you gave us $177 million. We only got $77
million. So where's the
$100 million you claim you gave us? He said he's not counting the weapons we sent him, that we didn't send him $177 million in cash.
Oh. Well.
Unless the 100 is missing.
Well, let's look at Zelensky's real estate holdings.
Yeah, that's right. And
see what he's driving.
401k.
See what he's driving before we get too upset
about.
Yeah,
because he bought a mansion in London.
Well, that's where he's headed, right?
Yeah, that's where he's going to end up.
He's going to go back to comedy. Yes. Yeah.
In a mansion.
In a mansion in London.
So we're not sure what the status of the war is right now over there.
Well, it's still going on. I think it will end. My guess, just off the top of my head, is it will be over within 3 months because I think that, number one, the money will dry up. And I think both sides are getting tired of the carnage.
And I think North Korea is not supplying any more troops.
Yeah, because they lost a bunch.
So where do we...
I think they don't want to send any more of their troops over there because once they discover porn on the internet, they don't want to come home.
Okay. Yeah, that's the true statement.
It is a true statement.
Yes, it is the true statement. Folks, on that, we're going to take our quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to the CCTE Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back, folks. And again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're going to change hats. I think we're going to become more domesticated, I guess. But
we're going to talk about DEI at the FAA.
At the FAA.
Then, I mean, all of us paid attention to the two airplane crashes that we've had just recently. The one at Reagan National Airport, where the helicopter, military helicopter, caused a crash with an airline and all 67 people were killed, 64 on the airline and 3 on the helicopter. The Democrats came out and tried to blame Trump for the crash because of his prohibition on DEI. And Buttigieg made the mistake of trying to dunk Trump with that. And the problem is that under Obama, carrying forward, the FAA instituted DEI, and they were actually recruiting people with severe, this is a quote, severe intellectual and physical disabilities, unquote.
And they were also not accepting people that had military training,
right,
or academic training in aircraft control.
Right, and they turned down 1,000 applicants because they were white men.
Because they were white, yes. So, and this, I realize in this case, the I believe the air traffic controller probably didn't cause the accident as such.
Well, as I understood, they gave somebody the night off. They gave them, let them leave early. So that meant one controller was working with helicopter and airline
and fixed wings
at the same time. In Reagan, which is considered
very, very busy,
very dangerous,
very
congested
busy
airways. Yes.
Yes. So it wasn't. It was the first major air accident since 2009.
Well, it was quite an accident, and then the one in Philadelphia was an air medical flight, and they still don't know what happened to that one.
They don't know, no, because they got nothing back from the crew. It just fell out of the sky.
Did they find the black box? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know either.
I don't either. Okay.
So,
at any rate, I just wanted to mention the other thing about the crash is the Army kind of bugged me by holding up the announcement of who the pilot was because it was a female. And they didn't want to seem to suggest or seem to agree with Trump that this was a DEI accident. You know, remember he said this could be DEI.
Yeah.
She could have been, it could have been a female, could have been gay, could have been transgender. Well, the Army, contrary to their regulations, held up the announcement of who she was for 48 hours instead of 24. And that gave the family time to scrub her social media. And the announcement of who she was also included information from the family, which is also not what they do. In the article I read said, well, this ignites the Streisand effect. Do you know what that is?
No.
Barbara Streisand got mad because people were looking at her property.
Property, yes.
And so when she complained about it, more people looked at her property.
That's right.
So they said by treating the female pilot differently, they ignited the Streisand effect. Now we all want to know, what is it about her that you're hiding? What are you hiding?
Folks, don't think about elephants. Okay, so now let's go on and don't think about elephants.
Yeah. Whatever you do, do not think of elephants.
Okay. Let's go. Martha's Vineyard. Mary, you had something on Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard has, remember in 2022, when Martha's Vineyard, they had 50, DeSantis, I think it was, sent 50 illegal...
It was Abbott. They came...
It was Abbott. Sent 50 immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. And the residents of the island couldn't get them off fast enough. I mean, they were gone in like 48 hours.
Yep.
Well, now, with President Trump deporting illegal aliens, they had a protest rally at Martha's Vineyard saying it was inhumane to deport illegals. So which is it?
Why would they not want the illegals deported?
They don't want their illegals to be deported.
Oh, their illegals. You mean that?
The ones that are there, their nannies and lawnmowers and
stuff like that.
So right along with that, who else didn't want illegals, their illegals deported? I mean, there was New Jersey Governor Murphy?
Yes.
The one that was living above, and he said, and I'd like to see the feds try to come get her. And Tom Homan said, I'll be right there, Governor. And the governor had to say, well, I was lying. There was nobody living above me. That didn't take long.
No.
the show of a Democrat admitting I'm a liar.
That's
yeah. Just made my day.
Well, it really is. It's tough when the light is shone on them. We understand that there's a lot of times when, again, we've heard it going back to the USAID, and actually not even the USAID. I'm going to go back to the dictate now that all the federal employees have to come to work now. And the Democrats immediately says, well, what are we going to have doctors and nurses quit because they have to come to work?
Well, actually, that was Michael Strahan.
Was it Strahan? Okay.
Yeah, Good Morning America.
Good Morning America.
Because I said to you, he's just been hit in the head too many times. You know, and Trump's was her spokesman, Carolyn Leavitt. She said, well, doctors that work at hospitals have to come to the office.
Yes, and like firefighters, I know, they generally have to go to the fire scene. They can't call in.
No more remote working for the firefighters.
And how much money have we been paying for office space around Washington, D.C. that has been empty?
Billions.
I mean, there are times when people can work from home, but we can't have a whole workforce doing
94%
that.
94% are working at home. That's
no.
Way too many.
No, that is not reasonable.
And you know, I'm going to flip my hat to the opposite side of the hat. And the people that are really hurting are those that would normally collect the tolls on Beltway around Washington D.C. The Beltway has the tolls. Well, if everybody's working from home, they're not paying those tolls.
Well, what about all the parking structures?
All the parking structure.
All the businesses that are there for people to eat lunch. You know, drugstores, small businesses.
And we saw that back again. It started with COVID, that those businesses were hurt and they really didn't know what to do.
Well, one of the civil service employees that's against the, you have to go back to the office, said, well, then if we have to go back, we should boycott all the small businesses around the buildings.
Like, and what is that going to accomplish?
We're not happy.
We're going to boycott because we haven't been going there anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Nobody said it had to make sense.
Yeah. And you know, I mentioned that it originally started with COVID. By the way, there's apparently another, there's a warning lights are flashing. There's another pandemic, and somebody called it a plandemic. Mm-hmm. I guess, is it bird flu or what is it? I mean, we're all taking a hit on eggs and chickens.
Yes.
And we know that the last duck farm on Long Island apparently has
had to get rid of their ducks.
Get rid of 100,000 ducks. Okay, so don't
Who
look.
Who did?
And on Long Island, New York, the
really?
Duck farm, they had to euthanize 100,000 ducks.
So what does that do to the ecological balance of the environment?
What do you do with 100,000 corpses, duck corpses?
I don't know.
Oh dear!
Really
have a very strange bonfire.
Jeez.
Where are we going?
I want to talk about North Carolina hurricane relief.
Okay.
Because the people out in western North Carolina are not getting the help that they need. It's starting to come now. The Army Corps of Engineers is out there building roads. As soon as Trump took office, he sent them out there. The Amish are out there building sheds because the building code would not accept their small houses. So they designated them as sheds, and it is legal to live in your shed. But there's an awful lot of money that is stuck in Raleigh. And the state treasurer says, or his spokesman said, the office had to create a program to manage the money, but she said the loan should become available soon. Well, the hurricane happened in September.
We're talking about $100 million, too.
They need to get working. The people need relief. They need a lot of them, thank goodness, a lot of them have moved from their tents into RVs. But it's cold out there. That's not, you know, that's not good weather to be camping out. So they need to do their job.
Now, in the disaster relief in Palisades and what is it, Malibu out in California?
Yes.
What's happened out there?
Well, they're talking about the rebuilding effort. And the zoning says that when they rebuild, they have to put in low-income housing. Now, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be, I want to see that fight. I think that's going to be
fun. The definition of low-income housing in a $3 million house area is what?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
So the out there, I know in the Malibu beach area that they're going to have trouble rebuilding because many of those houses were on like a 30 by an 80 foot plot. The plot of land was 30 feet wide, 80 feet deep, and you had septic tanks. And I know that all current regulations wouldn't allow you to rebuild. So
I didn't suspect anything in Malibu was on the beach was going to be rebuilt.
No.
Because the Coastal Commission would stop that.
Would stop.
The law would require Pacific Palisades to include affordable housing to replace older buildings. And for new buildings where owners cannot definitely prove that their rental apartments had no low-income renters in the past 5 years, the ordinance...
And all their records burn up.
Yeah. The ordinance... occupied by persons or family above the lower income category shall be replaced with low income units. So I don't know what the definition of a low income unit is in Pacific Palisades. I think that might be somewhat comical.
No, we don't. I know that one other thing that President Trump is proposing to create turmoil again is getting rid of the Department of Education.
And
Yeehaw is right.
Part of the structure of doing that is that he wants to get the Secretary of Education confirmed first, And she knows that her job is to get rid of the department.
Yeah, she knew that.
We also know that when that department was founded, we as a country were essentially number one in education. And now that that department has matured, we're now down at the bottom of the pile.
We're like 28th or something like that.
Folks, we're going to end the show on that. Again, thank you for listening. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you.